turn your Bibles to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at verse 40. Matthew 10, 40. When you have it, say, I have it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So we're talking about rewards. That means somebody is doing some giving and some receiving. I'll say it again. That means somebody is doing some giving and some receiving. So giving to a king or a prophet or a rich person seems senseless to poor-minded people. They figure you already have it. In fact, in their minds, they think because you have more, you should pour into them automatically. That's the way most poor-minded people think. They think their condition is a reason why somebody should pour into their life. I'm trying to help you. Said, Pastor, trying to help you. What they don't know is that you have to give into a vein that is more productive than the one they are living out of right now in order to attract wealth. See, in order to get money, you have to sow money. Now, if you need time, what you gonna sow? Time. When you need money, what you need to sow? Okay, so we can't put rocks in here and call that money. Have you ever asked yourself why someone else seems to be getting blessed all the time and you are straining through a strainer just to maintain? What you don't realize is that these people have a lifestyle of giving. They give all the time. Say all the time. They are looking for opportunities without complaining. Say without complaining. Or without bragging. To participate in someone else's dreams or plans. And most Christians, you know, they'll come to the house and they'll give, but they'll sell it to you. Or they expect you to give them something, allegiance or something as a result of them giving you something. People that give all the time, they have given planned in their everyday life. It's not a happenstance thing. It's deliberate. Say it's deliberate. When I get up with the intent to give. I don't know who the Lord might speak to today, tomorrow, whenever. I am prepared to give. That's why I never leave my house with just enough for me. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Givers don't think that way. See, some of you say, well, I don't take cash on me. You should, to some degree. I'm not telling you to take $1,000 in your wallet. And if the Lord tell you to do that, he's got plans for it. You get up and get directions. But I never leave my house with just enough for me. Giving is done on purpose with an expected result. Look at Luke 6:38. They're giving with on purpose. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's an expectation. He says, do it on purpose. Say, do it on purpose. Some supposed to give on purpose. Not because somebody is hounding me to give. I'm supposed to give because I've already pre-planned to give. He says, you give and it'll be given back to you. And then he tell you how it's going to be given back to you. Now look at 2 Corinthians. I know I know. 2 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So and it's telling you, it's all up to you. It's your mindset that's controlling. That's controlling your return. It's your mindset. Look at verse 7. Because every man according as he what? So given is what? Deliberate. Because you purposed in your heart in advance. And you came ready to do it. Oh, Jesus. It says if you purposed in your heart to give, then let him give. Not grudgingly. Not because you think I need it. Or of necessity. That word necessity means somebody coerce you. You know, you go to some places and they make you feel kind of bad if you don't give. Well, God's not like that. If you don't give, you just don't give. God don't make you feel bad because you don't give. Now, things can happen that you wish you had a gave, but he doesn't make you feel bad. Your circumstances might. But God is not the one making you feel bad because you didn't give. Now, most Christians may give the 10%, the tithe, although many struggle to do that with joy. The tithe is the beginning, say the beginning, and not the sum total of giving. However, we are not to stop at the 10%. We should have a consistent flow of sowing, giving so that we can have a consistent flow of return. You look at Ecclesiastes 11, we don't have to turn there, verses 1 through 3. It talks about giving into many veins. Why? You don't know which one is going to pop up first. So you got a consistent flow of giving. When I hear about things that the Lord prompt me, I give. When I hear about needs, when, you know, I'm adamant in giving into different ministries. When I know Operation Blessing, they go to every state and other countries when there's catastrophes. I make sure I give to them. So you got to sow into things because you'll never know what's going to come up in your life. You got to sow. You got to learn how to become a giver, not somebody just do this every now and then. So tithing is just the beginning. It's not the sum total of your giving. It's just the beginning. Tithing keeps the windows, according to Malachi 3, verse 8. It talks about windows. Now, I explained this to you once before, but I'm going to share it to you this way this morning. Tithing keeps opportunities to give open unto you. I'll say it again. Tithing keeps opportunities. That's what windows mean. Windows mean a opportunity, a time of opportunity to give so that heaven can stay in your life. And that keeps that open unto us. Or we can say tithing keeps opportunities to keep flowing our way. See, so opportunities keep coming our way, but if you're not tithing, the windows shut up. They close on you. There are opportunities that you've been given to give and to sow into somebody's life. If you don't take advantage of it, that's not God's fault. You didn't hear him telling you to give. Because he's always presenting opportunities for us to sow so we can increase. But if you just do everything mechanically, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you can't hear God telling you to do something other than that. He says, I'm providing opportunities. Are you hearing me? Poor people, you need to hear me. You need to find seed. Because while you're waiting for somebody to pour into you, you need to give out. Read the account of the widow with the two mites. She gave of her own substance all that she had, but she came out of debt. You don't have to read it that way, but Jesus, if Jesus talked about it, he didn't leave her in the same state she started out. That's not Jesus' personality to leave you when you've given him everything. See, tithing only, say tithing only, is like a maintenance system. You stay afloat, but you don't get ahead. It's like my little grandbaby. I watch him in the swimming pool. He got one of those little floaters. He's floating. You know, he think he's swimming. But he's floating. It's maintaining him based on his weight and everything else. That float that he's using is designed to maintain him on top of the water. But if he wanted to get ahead, he got to really learn how to swim. Because he's going to just stay in that little circle and let somebody get in there and help him get around. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's what tithing does. It maintains you, but it does not get you ahead. I'm getting ready to close because I had a whole lot of notes. I mean, me and the Lord, we just had a good time. When you want to start living in the overflow or a constant stream of increase, you must give above and beyond the 10%. And that is totally up to you. It is totally up to you. Come on, stand to your feet.